I should be on now.
Yes.
What a privilege it is to be here in the house of God, worshiping. And I believe that God has already met with us in a mighty way, but I pray he continues to do so. Will you stand with me as we read the Word of God? I'm reading out of Galatians chapter 5 right now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Let us pray. Lord, this morning as we come together, we're thankful that you are our God, that you do answer prayer. And as we have sung in worship, Lord, and we've talked about it, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will continue to flow. Lord, I pray for each heart, for each hearer, Lord, that your will transform minds today. Lord, sometimes we get set in our ways, and if everyone's like me, there's a little bit of stubbornness in us. And Lord, I pray that you go beyond our stubbornness, Lord, that we would allow you to penetrate into the depths of our hearts. Lord, that you will transform us, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about behavior modification versus heart transformation. And I hope by the end of this message, you'll know the difference between behavior modification and heart transformation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. How many of you would love to know the perfect will of God in every circumstance in your life? It's possible, but not always what we do. Correct? I would think that. So I want to talk to you in that. So as we look at the fruits of our faith, I'm going to use the fruits of the Spirit as the illustration this morning. As we talk about it, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. There should be evidence of our growth in Christ. You know, the evidence are the fruits of the Spirit, is what the Word of God tells us, the fruit of the Spirit. And those are things in our lives that are growing. And I believe that every person in this room, as long as we're stayed connected to the vine, which is Jesus, there should be some growth in some of these spiritual gifts. Do you agree? I don't care if it is in the bud stage or in a fruit forming stage, there should be some evidence of that fruit growing in our lives. But there's also some things I think we do unaware of that we start to try to hang our own fruit by our works on the tree, and we use that as to display that fruit's growing on our tree, and that's really what I said. So as we look here, behavior modification is really self-works, where the Holy Spirit has to work our heart and mind transformation. We cannot be transformed without the work of the Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son, and he said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but then did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? We would automatically think the one who did the work, right? And that's what it says. He said, you answered. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. So as we look here, we can say all we want. How many have a garage at home? How many have a car? Just because I park myself in a garage doesn't mean I'm a car. right? Okay? And what I'm going to get through here today is just because you call yourself a Christian may not necessarily make you a Christian. I see some faces around the room going, Okay, let's show it. Isaiah 29:13 says, "And the Lord said, because the people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, they only fear me as a commandment of men." So when I look at this, the false fruits, I'm going to say, how many of you, I remember as a child, coming home and just being hungry, and there was this bowl of fruit on the table. It looked very realistic. But when I took a bite, I realized it was wax. It looked like fruit, but it didn't taste like fruit. Does it make sense? So when we look here, Isaiah says, "You're drawing near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." You know, so false fruit to me, we try to hang sometimes that false fruit on our own tree. To me, false fruits or self-works is really a form of hypocrisy. We're saying something we're not. It's also another way to show pride. Go to Matthew chapter 28, or excuse me, chapter 23. Can't even read my own typing. That's pretty bad. Verse 1, Jesus is talking to the crowd here. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The scribes and Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. So do what and observe what they tell you, but do not do their works. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their own fingers. They do all their deeds to be seen by others.'" Just a thought. Are what we doing for Christ, are we doing it to be seen by man? Just thought. "They love to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long." Do you know what a phylactery is? Have you ever seen pictures of Jews and they've got this box across their forehead? That's a phylactery, and it has scriptures in it. And so it's to remind them. And the fringes were the, you see their fringes of their hair. So they love to have their broad display. I've got a lot of scriptures here. You know, the bigger my box, the bigger the scriptures are inside, or the more. Okay? So they want to be seen by men. I lost my place. Let me find it. Okay. Seen by men. "And they love the place of honor and feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And no man should call your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be a servant, and who exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow others to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across the land to make one single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, and say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but he who swears by the gold of the temple is bound to an oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple, or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If somebody swears by the altar, it's nothing, but if you swear by the gift that is on the altar, it is bound to his oath.' You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar which makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears by everything in it and him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Those you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgent. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, and the outside may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. So I read all that because I think there's a lot of things here that we sometimes do that we're not really aware that we do. My wife sometimes points out things that I do unaware. And I point out some things that she does unaware. Because we're creatures of what? Habit. We're creatures of habit. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they were doing things. They wanted to be seen by men. Some people love titles. Do you know them? I know some people that have so many letters after their name you can't tell what they are. You know, PhD, MDA, whatever, all these different letters. And they're a doctorate of nothing. I said that out loud. They love titles. They're doing it to be seen by men. They don't practice what they preach. They put heavy burdens on others. They won't do themselves. Their deeds are to be seen by others. They love the places of honor and the seats and the best seats in the synagogue. These are some things that are really, really, really bad. But the two I really want to talk about the most is the cup, inside of the cup, and the whitewashed tombs. Now, to understand what a whitewashed tomb is, in the culture of Israel, if you touched something dead, you were what? Unclean. And you had a ceremonial rites to go through to become clean again. But here, they're hiding their death. And so when those who touch them, so there's some things. They outwardly appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. So let me kind of touch a little bit here. Luke 18. And I'm going to tie it all together, but there's a lot of groundwork I want to lay first. Luke 18, verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let me just talk here, pause. I talk about fruit as far as hanging our own fruit. Now, I look across the room, and I'm glad there's a mix of ages. But I want to talk to some of the older generation right now. Because I grew up in the church, and I remember the days that holiness was determined by, I'm going to mingle. Are you guys all right with that? What you wore and where you went. Now, some of you younger generation, you may not understand this. But I grew up in the age that you couldn't go to the movies or movie theater. Do you remember those days? But if that same movie played in the church, I was able to watch it. Do you remember those days? Now, if you didn't grow up in the church, you may not remember that. Now, I'm going to, because the holiness movement picks a lot more on women than they do men, right? Women can't wear slacks. You had to wear a dress or a skirt, right? Do you remember those days? And even if you went sled riding, you had to wear slacks underneath your dress. You're kind of look, but this is what it was. A guy, their hair couldn't touch the back of their collar. you went to the movies, you're going to hell. If you went to the prom, you're going to hell. If your hair was too long, you're going to hell. If you wore earrings, you're going to hell. Do you remember those days? It was based on an outward action, not an inward transformation. And our holiness movement was based upon those things. And so this is what he said, if I did the right things, here the Pharisee says, I tithe and I fast. I'm doing all the right things. I'm hanging my own fruit on the tree. Look at me. Right? And so when we look at this, we're hanging our own fingers. We're doing all the right things. We're saying all the right things. I'm attending church and doing all those things that I need to do. But where is the transformation? We can conform to what's expected, but that doesn't make our fruit real. Does that make sense? And so if it doesn't make our fruit real, the changes aren't based on an inward thing. They're based on external actions. And so it's not changing the heart. And that's where we get into 2 Timothy. We go there to chapter 3, verse 1. He probably finds it faster than me. But understand this, in the last days there will be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak people, burdened with sins and led astray by every various passion, always learning but never able to learn the truth. Having a form of godliness but denying that power. I believe that a lot of the Christians today are in this realm. They're hanging all their own fruit. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to allow them to be transformed. So they're powerless in how they walk and how they live, and they're not changing. And so when the world tastes our fruit, they spit it out. Empty mason jar, milk. This is our Christianity, our holiness, our walking with God. Okay? In a sense, our fruit. I hope this makes sense. This represents sin, our actions that we do. Okay? I'm not a big sinner, but maybe I tell a little lie. Still looks like milk, right? Still smells like milk. Still gives the appearance of milk. Maybe I'm backbiting or gossiping about somebody behind their back. A little more. Still looks like milk, right? Correct? Maybe I'm cheating on my taxes. Nobody knows. Maybe I'm secretly looking at pornography. Still looks like milk, right? Still gives the same appearance of milk. Maybe I've got unforgiveness in my heart because I really hate the person that did that thing to me. Okay, all those things we're putting into our Christian walk still looks like milk. Still smells like milk. I'm not a milk drinker, so just... But it sure doesn't taste like milk. And to a world, a lot of times when they look good Christians, and they're tasting to see whether the Lord is good. They see your walk and see the things that you're doing behind that, going into what your Christianity is. And just like God, they're spewing that out of their mouth. That's behavior modification. Does that make sense? So, try not to make a mess. So in that, we cannot have heart transformation without the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives in order to touch the things that aren't to be in our lives. We're to walk a walk that is pleasing unto God, and yet sometimes we're hanging our own fruit, so to speak, because we want the appearance to look to other people that we're doing all the right things. We are a Christian, but we have all these things in our lives. So when we look at this, we have a form of godliness, but deny the power of there. In Mark chapter 11, there's a story of Jesus. He's coming back, and he's coming from Bethany, and he's hungry. How many get hungry? I'm telling you, that bowl of fruit that I saw, I was hungry when I came home from school, and I thought, I'll just eat an apple. Whew. Boy, was I mistaken. Well, Jesus in Mark chapter 11, he's coming down, and he sees this fig tree that is in full bloom. And he goes there and he wants to eat because he's hungry, but there's no fruit on the tree. And if you read the passage, it stumped me for a while because it said it was at the time where there shouldn't have been fruit on the tree. So why did Jesus curse the tree and say that you will never, ever bear fruit? And later on in verse 20, when they come by, Peter notices, hey, the fig tree that you cursed this morning is now withered and died. So if Jesus cursed the fig tree that shouldn't have been bearing fruit at the time, what was the purpose or what was the reason? One of those was to test the disciples' faith. It said, if you have faith, you can cause anything to happen. But I believe, when I prayed about this, that tree gave the appearance of having fruit. Even though at the time it was said it was not the season to bear fruit, it gave the appearance of having fruit. And that's why Jesus cursed the tree, because it had the appearance of fruit, but didn't have the evidence or the fruit. Only Jesus can make us righteous. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and counted all rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Righteousness only comes through Christ. There's nothing, none righteous, no, not one, is what Scripture tells us. I can't have a righteousness of my own because I'm evil, born into sin. And without that redemptive power, Jesus is my righteousness. Now let's get into why or how we transform our minds. You know, over the last several months, because of certain things in my life, I've worked hard to lose weight. I've worked hard. So there's a transformation, and now clothes don't fit, which is a good transformation. I just hate shopping. I don't. Just ask my wife. I hate shopping. But I'm going to have to, in a sense, bite that bullet and go and get some. but I worked hard. So there's a transformation. There's a determination. There's something in there. I've got to do something on my part to be able to transform. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us some things about our transformation. It says, therefore, brothers, and it's talking about sisters too, so don't get, that doesn't apply to me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you are able to test and discern the will of God. What is that? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there's a mind transformation. Another passage tells us that we have to put on the mind of Christ. And how do we do that? I think the best way to illustrate that is in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you're the branches. And unless you stay connected to the vine, you're not going to be able to produce fruit. And those who don't produce fruit, those branches that don't produce fruit, the vine dresser, which is the Father, takes off or puts away, throws them away, they dry up and they gather them up and they're burned. But those branches that produce fruit, he prunes so that they produce even more fruit. The whole key here is there has to be a connection between us and God. There has to be a connection that we stay connected to the vine. We are never going to be transformed if we're not staying connected to the vine. Jesus said that a Father is the vine dresser, he's the vine, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's the sap that flows through it. It is the one that does the work through mind transformation and through heart transformation. In this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit, go to John chapter 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and will no longer see him or see you. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It is the Holy Spirit that produces fruit in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that makes the transformation in our lives. Now, Jesus made this statement, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So there has to be a transformation in my heart. Let's look at it this way. The Holy Spirit is the governor. You're all looking at me like, I'm not going to get political, so don't get caught up here. I'm using this as an illustration. What is the governor's job? Whether they do it or not, that's different. I'm just saying. The governor's job is to execute the Constitution. Is that right? The governor's job is to execute the Constitution. The Holy Spirit's job is to execute the Constitution, which is the Bible, God's Word. That's his job. Now let's take this a little further. Everyone in here, you're a governor's mansion. And the Holy Spirit's the governor. So the Holy Spirit, as you are, the Word of God tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. So in that, the Holy Spirit here, I am the temple. He has full reign. He's executing His will or what needs to change in my life. He's showing me how to do that. He's speaking to all those things. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can produce fruit. We have to stay connected to the vine and allow the Holy Spirit to work on us. It's like an onion. Think of your life and your sin specifically as an onion. Now, I've used this illustration as forgiveness, but I'm going to use it as sin. As long as that outer skin's on there, there's not a whole lot of odor to the onion, is there? And so the Holy Spirit starts to work on the little things in my life that need changed. And He peels that layer off. And the more that He peels into those deeper areas in my life that are strongholds or sins, the more they may stink. So He gets to the hidden things that nobody may know about. So the Holy Spirit is peeling away those things and bringing them to our attention so that we can surrender them to the power of God and the Holy Spirit. He's bringing them to us. So we have to look at those things. He is revealing, peeling away, and He's revealing the deep hidden things in our lives that need to change. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that causes that transformation in our heart and mind in order for us to produce and to do fruit. If we look at John chapter 15, where the last verse that I didn't read was 11, He says, I'm doing this so that your joy may be full. He prunes us and stuff for our joy to be full. 2 Peter chapter 1. I went one too many pages. That was 1 John. I'm going to say, that doesn't even look right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from corruption, that is, the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an inheritance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Evidence of our walk with God. Fruit. Correct? Now, I'm not the most patient man. Anybody else patient? Some of these fruits of the Spirit, I've developed pretty strong fruit. But that patience one's probably the one that's got the least bit of development. Although, if you knew me back whenever, you'd say it has grown a lot. But for me, I know that's an area that sometimes patience is not a virtue that I readily have. And I'll give you an example of just the difference here. If we all wanted to go to Florida, we wouldn't all take the same route, would we? Guys, oh, whoever, maybe girls too, who would take the fastest route? Who would take the scenic route. We're still at the same destination. We just have, man, I'm that's my patience. I want to take the fastest way to wherever. I want the, God, if you're trying to teach me something, I want it now, right? I don't want to go through this process. And that's what Paul talks about, going from glory to glory. We want to go from glory, glory. We don't want that two part. That two part is a transition from one glory to the next glory. And that's usually taking us through some steps and processes that may not be comfortable for us. So my patience level. So what we see here is we've got to put on, and if we walk in those ways, allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, Colossians 3 tells us that we are to put on love as one of these virtues. Colossians 3, verse 12. But on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love should be evidence of our walk. Romans 5:5 says that God poured out His love into our hearts. So as we look, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can transform us. And what you understand is the fruit doesn't produce the tree. The tree produces the fruit. So when we try to hang our own fruit on the tree, we're not producing fruit, we're just there. And what the world's seeing sometimes, like that milk, it's tainted and it doesn't taste good. And so we've got to look here. The world tastes that spiritual fruit of what we just learned after the transformation, then it chooses to decide as well whether to eat. The CEV version of the Bible is called the Contemporary English Version. This is how it writes the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit makes us loving, makes us happy, makes us peaceful, makes us patient, makes us kind, makes us good, makes us faithful, makes us gentle, and makes us self-control. There is no law against having any of these ways. God's Spirit makes us, transforms us into His image. We can't do that on our own. I can say all the right things, do all the right things, and it still doesn't change my heart or my mind. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit and me allowing that. As the Holy Spirit convicts me of things in my own life, there's times, as I go back to the patients, I used to have to travel for work, and sometimes you get behind people that don't like to travel quite as fast. And sometimes you get people that just, I mean, I had a really bad day at work, and I got on to I-99 on an on-ramp, and I'm behind a tractor trailer, okay? And so I follow him out on the off-ramp, and I out around him. And this chick come right up on my tail. And she flipped me off. I'm just being transparent here. That boiled something inside of me in that moment. And she passed me, and I flew out around her, and I passed her. In front of her, and I did a brake check. Immediately, the Holy Spirit pierced my heart. Immediately. And I had to repent. The chick has her camera out, you know. She pulls around me, and I just waved at her and let her go. That's how quickly sin gets into our Christianity. None of us are immune. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And without Him, it's going to be tough. I won't say that you can't be good, but there's no transformation without the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no transformation. And as I said, I do a lot with the drug and alcohol community and teach classes and do some Bible studies. And they're familiar with this phrase, behavior modification versus life transformation. They understand it. They also understand fake it to make it. And I'd be amiss to say that if we're walking our Christian walk and we're allowing that sin to come in a sense, we're faking it to make it. We want the world and others in our walk to make us think that we are walking the walk and we're talking the talk and we are the true, true thing. And we're faking it to make it. And I look at these things. You got to understand that this transformation, there are some things that will be instantaneous as soon as you accept them and give them. But there are other things, like my patience, they're going to take some time. And that's what progressive sanctification is. The Holy Spirit is continually working on me to make me into the image of Christ. It's a continual process. It's not a one and done. It's a continual process. It's a lifelong process. The Holy Spirit enables us to grow in holiness and become more like Christ. It involves daily choices, spiritual disciplines, and cooperation with the Holy Spirit, leading to a gradual transformation and the conformity to the image of Christ, the true image. Many in our hypocrites have false spiritual fruit. Christians, as we work, are trying to get true spiritual fruit. Being religious means I must conform. Being a true Christian means I remain in the vine and I become. Church, I don't want you to conform. I want you to become and be transformed into the image and the likeness of Christ. That's the desire for my own heart, and that's a constant process of being formed into His image. Because there are things that happen in my life, and what happens in our life is when things happen, sometimes we revert to the old ways. This didn't work, so we'll go back. Good process. Just had a thought. My wife's always telling me to trust the process. I'm one to mend healing. And I can tell you that the day of my back surgery, I'm out of surgery, I wake up, and I said, there shouldn't be this much pain. My wife says, trust the process. Patience. Right? And I'm not where I need to be core-wise and because of that surgery and some things. But it's growing. It's getting better. And she says, trust the process. That's a patience factor. I told you, I want it now. Because we live in a microwave age, right? Now, I'm meddling again. There's a lot in this room that remember days before Minute Rice, TV dinners, instant pudding, right? There's a day. Some of you may even remember before drive-through windows. I don't. There were drive-through windows when I started, when I grew up. But there are some that may, you know. But we live in a microwave age, instant everything. And that's how sometimes we treat what our life is with Christ. We think it's going to be, and everything's going to change. And it's a process that we all need to go through. And everyone in this room's process may look different. And that's where we're not to judge one another. That could be one of these things that's poured into our Christianity. Judging. We judge others. I got a clarification for that. We are called to be fruit inspectors. They will know you by your fruit, right? But we're not to judge or condemn. But we should be able to be known by our fruit. Will you bow your heads? Lord, this morning, I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the way you challenge us, challenge me and myself. Lord, and I pray that every person that hears this Word, Lord, they'll look at their own lives and see, am I just somebody who is going through the motions as far as behavior modification? Or, Lord, is there truly been a heart transformation, and that process has begun and is continuing to work? Lord, I pray that we all look at that in a way that to allow the Holy Spirit to rule into our lives and to show us, expose those things that need to change, and to Lord, that our willingness and our discipline would be to surrender it to you and allow you to work as you do. We stay connected to the vine and through the power of the Holy Spirit. There may be somebody here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're looking at, I've gone through motions, and I do all the right things, like that rich young ruler. All those things I've done for my youth, what do I lack? A relationship with Jesus Christ may be it. If that's you, you raise your hand, and I'll pray with you, and we'll, I don't want to shame or discredit you. I just want to pray with you because I want everyone to know that Jesus loves them and he wants that relationship with them. Maybe you're here this morning and some of the things that I spoke just really pierced your heart, and that's a good thing. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your lives. And Lord, I pray that those seeds, as we've been planted and we've been watering, Lord, I pray that you would bring them to the fruition. Lord, that they would begin to produce fruit in people's lives. Lord, that your power and your might would be made manifest in their lives. Your word says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you are working on each one of us. You love us enough to not leave us the way we are, but you continue to work on us. I give you praise, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.